Hi, everybody. This is Gary Barkalow with Sam Williamson for another Campfire Conversation, and I'm glad you're with us. And Sam and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and he was about to, and since then has, spoken to a group of people, and he talked specifically on the idea of the power of asking questions. And this is very much Sam. Sam and I have traveled together doing some calling events, and I've just observed him at the meal table. It might be breakfast, lunch, or dinner with the guys. He very quickly goes into questions with guys and really gets the whole table
kind of
going
there.
Yeah, no, that is one of the first questions you ask, but not usually at the table. And so, Sam, I've seen you do that many, many times, and you've done that with me as well. I just, when you and I are together, whether it's by phone or in person. And so I was asking Sam, how did you approach these guys as you talked about the idea of questions? And as he was telling me some of his thoughts, some of the things he conveyed to the guys and how, we thought this would be a fascinating conversation to have because I know that everyone on the phone right now and everyone in base camp that's not on the phone, we know the power of questions because that's been done with us. And as we've asked questions of another person, we've seen the effect that it has had. So this is such a great topic for all of us. And just wanting to learn from Sam what he communicated, how he communicated it. So, Sam, thank you for doing this with us. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're really welcome. I'm really happy to be here, Gary. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now, when you and I were on the phone this week, kind of prepping, how did we want to approach this? We came across a very important, a very core story to this conversation. And I would love for you to start with that story. Start into it any way that you want to with us.
Okay. Well, I think a number of the guys have heard some of my life story before. I'm 54 years old now, but I grew up in a, you know, just a good Christian family. My parents were good believers. They loved the Lord. They raised us to be believers, etc. And I had a, you know, a very good Christian upbringing. And life went on. I got married. I got a job. I had some kids. And then in 1995, so a little over 15 years ago, something really significant happened in my relationship with my wife. We had, you know, a series of different things, and really my relationship with my wife in some senses really broke. And I moved out of the house, as I told guys. What I didn't tell guys is I actually started moving towards divorce. I hired a lawyer. I started talking to her. Now, I never filed anything. I never did any of that stuff. And, I mean, for me, it was a very, very hard time, probably the hardest time of my life. I mean, easily the hardest time of my life. And what happened during this time is a whole set of friends and acquaintances started trying to talk to me. They called me up. They said, let's get together, you know, people from my church, people from a parachurch community that I was a part of, friends from my childhood called me up. And in essence, they sort of would call me up and they'd get together and say, Sam, you can't do this. This is wrong. Stop it. Sam, don't do it. You know, and I know where the heart was. I mean, I know that they cared for me, but there was a certain way I was just broken, and getting this input was just not helping me at all. And then I just remember so clearly a friend of mine named Tom Burbeck. Tom, I was at his office once for a business reason, and Tom said, you know, Sam, I hear what's going on, and I've known you for 15 years, this is Tom speaking, and he said, I know that you don't believe in divorce. I know that you know, this has been against your sort of moral and ethical system for years. What kind of pain, what have you gone through that's brought you to this? Tell me what's happened to you. And Gary, I attribute the entire turnaround with my wife, and my wife and I have a great relationship now. I attribute the entire turnaround to this one conversation where he just said, Sam, tell me what's happened. And I started just telling my story. I started telling things, difficulties, things that had happened. And I'm starting to cry, and I look up, and he is crying right along with me. I mean, literally, tears are running down his cheeks as I'm talking about this. He's not telling me what to do. He's just saying, Sam, how could this happen? Tell me the pain you've experienced. He asked me to tell my story, and it changed my life. He said, what has happened to cause this pain? Why are you hurting so much? My entire life was changed by that.
Yeah. Okay, that's amazing that he was asking versus telling, or he was more asking than telling. And as you're saying that, Sam, I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, there always is a process to the point where we are making the decision that we're making. Whether it's to do something that, you know, before we went through this process, we would never have made that decision. We wouldn't have said that. We wouldn't have done that. Or we would have said it instead of holding back, you know, or we wouldn't have done it, and so on. And to help a man to be able to say, I'd love to understand how you got to this point where you've made this decision, that's an amazing thing.
It is an amazing thing, Gary. And you know, in hindsight, I can look on it, and so much was happening sort of emotionally, relationally. There's so many things happening that in some ways I was just closed in, and I think I was almost literally unable to hear something from somebody. You know, as they say, do this, do that, and, you know, 1,000 voices saying it. But one man just came and said, Sam, tell me what's happening. Sam, you know, why? When he says, why are you doing this, there was no judgment in his voice at all. He was saying, I just want to understand. Tell me more. Why are you doing this? What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful.
Okay, so, yeah, that's just amazing. I mean, that teaches me a lot as you say that. So here you are, as you said, you know, you have generations of family in ministry devoting their lives to that. You are well aware of Scripture, as most of us are on this call. And I know, I'm sure that before the difficulties happened as they did, you probably were against divorce. You know, you would tell people the same thing.
Sure.
And yet circumstances started to change your conviction. What occurred as you're telling your story? This man asks you what happened, and you tell a story, and you are having tears. I mean, kind of what's going on internally in your heart while he's asking you questions and you're answering those questions?
Well, I would say part of it was, as I told the story, I was just reliving a wound. I mean, I was reliving a circumstance where my wife had said something that cut me to the core. And as he said that, I was just reliving the pain. And it really was just the pain. I was just sort of going through the pain again and the experience of it. But I was going through it with somebody else. And I think that when I looked up and saw his tears, I felt like I was not going through that pain alone. I felt like I was going through it with somebody. He was bringing it out, but he was engaged with me in that pain and engaged with me in just the deep sorrow that it caused.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer you?
it does. Now let me ask you, too. By going back through your story with him, with another person, reflecting it back to another person versus just thinking about this in your own mind, on your own, did that start to connect anything for you? Were there any connections taking place or any kind of revelations that were happening as you're actually hearing yourself tell the story of how you got to where you were?
Yes. I would say that the truth is, I had told the same story to other people in some ways to justify my actions.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you know, if you do something wrong, you say, well, she said this or he said that, and there's a certain kind of self-justification in that. But he was not condemning me. He was not pointing out anything wrong. He wasn't being judgmental in it. He was saying, explain it to me. I don't understand. You know, when I would tell a story, he says, now, why did you feel that way? And when I'd say more, he says, now, just, you know, expand on that a little bit. He sort of kept probing, but very gently and very graciously. And it enabled me to tell the story again without a twist or without a spin or without a self-justification in the story. And he kept saying, now, why did that hurt so much? You know, what was it about that event that hurt? And so I was able to get beyond just the fact that I was hurt, and I was going to say, now that's right. why when she said that was I so hurt? Well, you know, if Gary had said that to me, I wouldn't have been hurt. So what is it? You know, so in other words, we were able to dig deeper than just the event and begin to understand why, what was going on inside my heart that would take this one comment and be so devastated by it. And I began to just search my own heart. And he helped.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, those questions, it sounds like, help you get down to the real core issues. And therefore, at that point, start to make, you know, decisions, start to try to understand the context. So let me ask you, with that story that you've just told us now and the power of one man coming in and asking versus just telling, tell us some of the things that you were talking about to these students, to this group, when you were talking about the importance and the power of questions. What were just some of, off the top of your head, some of the kind of key points you really wanted to get across to them that were important?
Well, my father's the one that taught me the power of questions. I mean, I think you guys have all heard a story once where I had to interview a president once of a company, and he was just a very, very introverted man. And his staff had said, Sam, you have to come with a million stories just to make – I think it was an hour lunchtime. And he said, you got to come and tell stories. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I don't want to be an entertainer for lunch. Mm-hmm. So I called my dad, and my dad said, Sam, people like to hear the sound of their own voice, and they need to have someone help them find the sound of their own voice. So he said, one of the best things you can do to care for somebody is just asking questions and be engaged in the question. And so it was an experiment for me. I was, I think, 28 or 29 years old, and I was meeting with a 70-year-old, 65-year-old man, 70-year-old man who was the president of a large corporation. And he was expecting me to tell him humorous stories or something, but I just said, you know, what are your hobbies? Why do you like that? Tell me more about this. And I saw him wake up as somebody actually was paying attention to him as a person instead of him as the president. Instead of trying to impress him, somebody just saying, I just want to hear about you. You know, and he said he liked fly fishing. I said, why do you like fly fishing? And he says, I love the artistry of tying little flies. And I said, why do you like the artistry of little flies? And he said, I always wanted to be an artist. You know, I always wanted to be able to paint or do music, but I couldn't do that. I wanted to create something beautiful is what he I remember him saying. And he said, when I create these flies, I'm able to create something beautiful. And he said, and I love it. You know, and he was just being himself. It was no longer client or vendor. I was allowing him just to be himself and say this. And, I mean, I remember him saying, he said, Sam, I've never told a soul this. My kids don't know this about me. He says, I don't even know if I've ever said it aloud before. And that was sort of my dad's comment. He says, sometimes when you ask questions and you're seriously engaged with the person, you let them help their find their voice. You're honoring them by being fully focused on them and hearing, letting them find and hear their own voice. So I think that was one of the first things, is it's a way of sharing. It's a way of caring for someone, of just fully engaging with them and letting them hear their own voice.
Yeah. You know what? I'm struck by several things. One, I'm struck by the wise man that your father was about the human heart. I mean, I'm just, the story you told now is, Sam, this is all you have to do. Let me tell you how the heart works. This is what you do. Now, I know he maybe had different language for it.
But that's what, of course, you're right.
And then reflecting back on the stories you've told earlier about your dad, just what an amazing man and heritage you've had. The other thing that strikes me is, you know, what I'm hearing that your dad said is ask questions and engage. And we have all, I'm sure, had people ask us questions, but you can tell they're not engaged. This is a routine they're going through, right? This is their client care that they have been taught. And they look bored. They aren't listening. They aren't connecting anything you're saying.
Right.
And that's just insulting. I mean, that's insulting. So to ask questions and to engage in the conversation, you know, kind of follow the path of the question like you just illustrated, where the person knows you're listening, you're interested, gosh, that's powerful. And then I just am remembering Paul Stanley, as I've talked about before, and of course we've had Paul on the phone before in a campfire conversation. When Paul had taught me very early on, he said, Gary, questions help a man think. And that's what you want to do, is help a man think. He said just telling them what to do does not help him think. Now, that may give perspective, but it doesn't help him think. And ultimately, what you want to do is help another person think. So this is just so powerful what you're talking about.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. And I think the part that you were hitting on there is it's not just the external action of asking a question, but it's actually being interested in their answer. You know, in other words, there's a certain way we can ask questions. We're actually thinking about ourselves. Can I ask a brilliant question? You know, but it's actually asking a question and then putting your focus, putting our attention and our focus on them. It's a real gift to be able to give this attention to someone and becoming interested with them. I had never done fly fishing, but somehow, as I let him talk about it, I got caught up in fly fishing. You know, because he was able to break out of this introverted shell, he was actually able to be animated, and it was contagious. It was great.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is asking heart questions. You know, you were saying we need to engage him, but some of it's asking heart questions versus just informational questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, informational question is how many kids do you have? A heart question is, what did you feel like the first time you held your son in your arms? You know, I mean, there's a huge difference between those two questions.
Yeah. Well, and even your illustration kind of showed us that sometimes you have to start with a factual question, and then with the answer, then you go to the heart because you have an avenue. You know, you have a way. And, I remember, I'm struck by two other things, and that is, you know, sometimes it's really hard for me to have a heart connection with a person until I start asking questions and I start getting their story, which, you know, that's really the core of this, as you were saying. And what connects us to another person is their story, not the facts about their life. And so sometimes the only way you can connect with another person heart to heart is ask questions and therefore get their story. And so, to connect with a person, ask questions. And the other thing that strikes me that you were saying, Sam, I'm remembering years and years ago, there was a guy that I met at Wild at Heart, and he asked me if we could meet sometime. He lived in Colorado Springs, and I was a little leery of this guy when I met him, and so I said, yeah, well, and we met at a little fast food place. I wanted to be as anonymous as I could with him because there was a check in my heart about this man.
Mm-hmm.
And the more he talked about his life and what his life was like, I actually became pretty scared of this guy. His temper, he didn't think rationally, and he was really scary. I mean, I just thought, I'm not going to ever let him know where I live. I'm not going to give my telephone number. I needed to have some safe space.
Yeah.
But as I asked him questions, I finally found what appeared to be a vein of gold in his life, a little bit of the glory of his life, because all I saw was his woundedness, and therefore his behavior that came out of it, which seemed to be everything. And when I found a little glimmer of gold, I thought, okay, I could start to connect with this man. I could start to trust him enough to connect with him. But before then, it was like, I'm ending this thing, and he will never see me again, nor will I see him. But it was the questions that got me to see the goodness in his heart. You know, it's just so keep going. Some more things that you have.
No, I like what you're saying there. And what you're reminding me of is, one of the things I liked about going to my first Wild at Heart weekend, you know, which is, I think, something all the guys like, is all the videos. Because the videos are stories, and the stories stir our hearts. And, you know, it speaks some kind of truth or reality to us that's different than just propositional truth. It's a heart truth. And I think, like, when my friend asked me to tell the stories of what had happened, I think that it stirred my heart. I mean, there's a certain thing that asking questions just stirs our hearts. I mean, as you're talking about this, as you're asking this guy, you have some concerns about him, but somehow you got him to start telling a story, and I bet he got stirred as he's talking about it, as you did. And sometimes I think asking questions, like my friend when he was asking me questions, got me to tell the story just in the context of the story, not with trying to blame anybody, not with trying to self-justify, just to tell the story. And the story itself, when he kept asking deeper questions, is, I think, really what moved me and him.
Well, and you know what? I mean, it's so easy to come in, with a person and then find something and then go into lecture mode. let me instruct you in this. Let me warn you in this. And it's so easy to do, and I think especially as men. And it feels cold. You know, a lot of times if that's happened to me, I feel like I want to ask the question, did I ask you to do this? Did I ask you for instruction or a rebuke, you know? And it just feels cold and heartless. But boy, when somebody asks me questions and they seem like they really have interest in my life, that's profound, and it's also rare. So I think that's why, you know, we connect hearts so quickly when that happens.
Now, as you're saying that, Gary, it dawns on me that I think almost everybody knows the lecture doesn't work. I mean, you know, 15 years ago, I had a bunch of people lecturing me. It didn't work. Somebody asked me a question, it did. And I don't think that's news or revelation to many people, not to many people listening. But I guess my question is, but why do we keep doing it? Why is our first tendency sometimes just to tell people what the truth is? And it might be right. I'm not saying that we're wrong always, although we might be. But let's say that we do know the truth. Why is our tendency to say the truth to them instead of, in some ways, to help engage the person? What do you think?
Well, that's a great question, because I do know that my tendency, and I love to ask questions, and I think I can do it fairly well, but still my tendency is to tell rather than ask. And what I've run into by doing that is when I do more telling than asking, I realize that what I'm telling isn't really appropriate because I haven't determined what the real need is yet. Like people telling you, okay, you know better, Sam, don't divorce your wife.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, well, they haven't gotten to what the real issue is to maybe bring truth to that. So to answer your question, gosh, I think a couple things. One, maybe the core of it is fear. That when I do more telling than asking, I think I'm a little afraid to go down the road that you create when you ask questions. I mean, because I don't know where this is going to go. And if I don't think I know what to say now, I'm really afraid I won't know what to say if this goes real deep, real fast. And so sometimes it's out of fear for me.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say a more justifiable answer to that, for me, may be time. Because sometimes I know that I've got 30 minutes with this person, you know, 30 minutes left over lunch or 30 minutes on the phone or whatever it is. And I'm thinking, I can't start down this road of asking questions when I got 30 minutes, because it's going to be really rude to say, hey, I got to go now, and we are really into something. Now, that's the most justifiable answer I can give you. But I think it might be fear. I don't know. What, that's a great question. How would you answer that?
Well, I think fear is a big thing. And I'm just thinking about I'm thinking about guys who said, Sam, just don't do that. Don't divorce. Mm-hmm. I think – and, you know, I mean, let me have a more practical thing. I did have a brother-in-law who was having multiple affairs, you know, while he was married to my sister. And I know that I did say to him, just stop it. Why are you doing this? Stop it. But I do think it's because it's easy for me on the surface level to look at just mere behavior as though if I just tell you to stop doing it, your behavior will stop. But our behavior is always based on something deeper, you know, pain of our heart, some fear in our heart, some longing in our heart. And I think you're right. I think that oftentimes, probably most of the time when I don't ask someone questions, it's because they're going to now say something, and I don't know how to deal with that. You know, I don't know how to deal with how his, you know, in my case, my brother-in-law, his dad had taught him pornography, had taken him to strip clubs, had taught him that no man can ever be satisfied with one woman, you know. And as I found that out later, I thought, I don't know what to say to this guy, you know. And so there is a fear of, it's easy for me to say, I know the surface behavior, so I know what to tell you in that sense. But once you get deeper, I don't know how to deal with that. I'm not trained in that or something. And so you're right. I think a fear will keep me from going deeper.
Yeah. Yeah, you hit on a key one, I think. And well, okay, so one, there is the fear of where will this go? You know, there is the fear of, I think, of maybe they don't want me to go there, and they're going to say, what are you doing? Stop it. Don't ask, you know. And there's the fear of that rejection that could happen. But I think the greater fear is what you're pinpointing now, and that is, I don't know if I know what questions to ask. If I start down this road, I might get stuck. I mean, I've had people ask me, and I'm sure they've asked you the same. They said, you know, that maybe they overheard a conversation, or it was a conversation between us. And they came back and they said, how did you know to ask those series of questions? And my answer is, I didn't. I ask a question, you see what comes up, you see what grabs you. And it's not clinical, and it's not taught. You just hear a question and go, wow, now that's fascinating. Why do you think you had that reaction? I mean, you just go with it. You just, and so for me, I have to get out of a place of worry and anxiety and fear so that I can actually pay attention to my heart and see when my heart is intrigued by something or when an answer makes it jump. And I can really go with the true honest or the true curiosity in my heart. I really think it's just chasing curiosity.
No, I
not
think you're
chasing,
right.
Yep.
No, I think you're absolutely right, chasing curiosity. Because in the end, even if I say, if I ask a question and I get into something I don't have the answer for, well, the truth is I don't have an answer for it. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think sometimes helping someone pursue this, even in their own heart, in the end, if they come up with the answer, they're going to remember it a lot better than if I give them the answer anyway. You know, mm-hmm. In other words, as you're saying, the intrigue and the question, just sort of follow your curiosity, I think is going to help them the most. You are
right.
Engaged with them, you're listening to them, you've got given them undivided attention. And I think they sense that. They feel safe in that environment.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Sam? I think sometimes what is needed is an answer, is truth, you know. And so you ask questions to find out what is the real need, the real question, the real lie, the real darkness here. And we can speak into that if we'll follow the path and find it. But sometimes I think maybe the greatest power in this is just for a person to have to think through their life, which they've never done. Think through, what was that about? Why did that hurt? Why did I have that reaction? What did they really mean? Is there someone else involved in this, speaking about spiritual warfare? And so for me, if I can let go of the, I can't think of the word, conviction, that I have to have an answer at the end of this question trail, then I'm freer to go, you know what, maybe the power of this, maybe what's needed is just for them to think through their life. I don't have to have an answer. I don't have to have the truth. And then it actually is fun, even though it's not a fun situation you're getting into, but it's still fun. You know, I just love the picture of just picking up the scent, and you just follow the scent. And then you realize,
and
I think I lost the scent, and now I'm back
on
again.
I like the picture that you described where you were saying, I think it was Paul Stanley, your friend, who said, the old saying is wisdom comes from experience, and Paul Stanley said, no, wisdom comes from reflected experience.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to ask questions helps someone reflect, but I think it's helpful, you know, as you're talking about it, my experience of this man asking me questions is he was with me in the journey. He was with me in the reflection. And I think it makes it safer for people sometimes to go down that reflection as somebody is helping them reflect with questions. But walking with them as they do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so Sam, let me ask you this. What I find, and let me say for us in base camp, right, who have gone through a certain journey with God and learning how to hear his voice and what spiritual warfare is and how do you enter into a man's life and how do you help them find what's coming against them and how do you help them find their glory and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So with this community, what I find is that I think we tend to, if we dominate with something, we can either dominate with asking a person questions, the person we're talking to, or we can dominate with telling our story. And I think to dominate with either, I think the word dominate is not the good word. I mean, that shows that there's something wrong.
Uh-huh.
And so how would you, because we talked about that human hearts connect when there's story.
Yeah.
So how would you describe maybe, and again, I don't like the word balance because that feels formulaic, but I can't find another word. What's the balance, you think, when we're connecting with another person between telling our story and asking them questions to get into their story?
Yeah, that's a good question, Gary. let's say, given all things are neutral, I mean, if there's a situation where you're clearly hurting in this moment more than I am, then I think in that situation, obviously, I want to spend a little bit more time letting you talk. Or vice versa. If I'm really hurting, you might be asking more questions about my situation. But let's say that we're coming into this conversation relatively neutral and previously balanced. What is that? You know, I don't think that questions always have to deal with a particular person's issue. So, you know, in my particular case, I was going through a potential divorce, and a guy sort of walked me through it. But if you and I get together for lunch, I think that we can start talking about a topic. We could start talking about men finding their hearts. And I think even in that situation, it's intriguing sometimes to say, now, Gary, why do you think most people in the Christian church aren't finding their hearts? And we can start down a discussion. So it's a discussion around questions, but it doesn't always have to be a discussion around your particular woundedness or something in a particular situation. And then I find sometimes, and I don't know if this works, but I find sometimes telling a little story from my life and then asking the person, does that make sense? Have you had a similar experience? Is a way of having a balance. It's actually sometimes a way of drawing somebody out. Because my story, you know, maybe in my talking with someone, I might be sensing something in their life, and I can tell a story that I'm hoping will resonate with them in some ways. And then I can say, so now, Gary, you know, when was the time someone asked you a question that stirred your heart? You know, I just told a story that where someone stirred my heart with a question. I can say it to you. And then, so in some ways, you can have sort of a tennis match going back and forth. It's not a tennis match, but sort of a, I tell a little story, but I ask you, and you reveal a little bit more. And then sometimes your story is intriguing, so we dig down that path a little bit. And then you jump back and ask me some questions so that it's not one person dominating the question or the conversation.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. And what I'm thinking is that I think that being aware of our motivation is so incredibly important because I'm thinking about my own life, right? I can ask a person questions, and they may be very good questions that will really help them. But in reality, I know in my heart, I'm keeping this a one-way relationship right now. I'm asking questions, they're answering. I'm not telling anything about myself. I mean, I know in my heart when I'm doing that, I'm keeping a distance by asking questions. Even though I know the questions can help them, it's not completely selfless at that point, you know? And on the other hand, I know when there's times that I'm telling my story, and yes, maybe it'll help the other person, but basically, I just want to be on me right now. That's all I want to do. I just want to talk about my life. I'm not interested in theirs.
I can't believe you can be that way sometimes, Gary.
Oh, yeah, that was about 10 years ago, I think. That's 5 minutes ago. So, you know what? I think motive, it just makes me think all over again the importance of being connected with our heart and understanding our motive in the moment. That are we asking questions because we're interested and love the other person, or are we trying to keep a distance, which questions are really good at doing that.
Yeah.
And telling a story. I mean, sometimes, you know, I've done this with you, I've done this with Jeff, I've done this with other guys who are on the chat line right now, where you've asked me questions, I'm telling my story, and after a while, I am almost nauseated by my own voice.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's kind of like, okay, I can't tell my story anymore. I feel like I'm choking on myself.
Yeah.
You know? But, okay, so let me go back. You shared a very vulnerable story in your life. And then you said, you know, you were giving as an illustration. Someone might come back and say, well, Gary, what about you? What's a profound question you were asked or one of the most helpful? And you know, 3.5 years ago when I left Ransomed Heart, with all the difficulties and all the pain that that caused, yes, over the years I've had a few people say, I shouldn't have done that. And I need to go back and make it right. And usually the people that say that to me at a retreat are the guys that are acting like the child who wants their mom and dad to get back together again.
Sure.
And it's
sure.
really more about them than it is about the marriage. And I understand that. I do. But I've had a few people say to me, what was that like? So similar to the conversation you had.
Right.
What happened to your heart in that? What was communicated? What were the lies that were injected? What do you still feel? How did that feed into your wound and wounds from the past? I mean, those are the questions that made me stop and say, okay, at a core level, what really happened? What's happened to me? What do I need to be aware of and leery of? What do I have to be cautious about? And what do I need to take back to God and ask for interpretation on? Those were huge. And I've had several people, you know, I had a couple people that did it very early on after leaving because they could hear the pain in my voice and see it in my eyes if we were together. And then through the years, you know, you and many guys have continued to do that, which has just taken me to a deeper level of answer. Not that I haven't progressed because I believe I have. Mm-hmm. But just to deeper healing and deeper understanding. So that's been true, if we want to use a term that we really use here because of the baggage, but that's been true discipleship, true mentoring, and I'd rather say true brotherhood and love.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you're right. I just like hearing the story. I'm moved that people ask you those questions. I mean, I am. Just hearing that makes me love those guys, and I don't even know who they are. That's really good.
Yeah.
You know, you've taught me something. I'm sort of shifting gears for a minute, if that's okay.
Yeah.
But in your calling retreat, on the mystery talk, you have a few points about mystery, but I think your last point in mystery is an invitation to intimacy with Christ. And I think that that has always struck me. I think my dad would have loved that line. You know, he never taught me that line, but I think the moment you said it, he would have said yes, because in some ways what I've heard you talk about is, you know, something is stirring in your heart and you're not sure what it is, and you just go to God and say, God, what is that? There's a certain way, I think, sometimes just asking God questions about what's going on to our hearts is another sort of facet of the whole thing about asking questions. Sometimes we ask questions of each other, but sometimes I think we just ask questions of God. God, why, when she says that, do I get so upset, whereas anybody else who says it, I don't? Or, you know, whatever it is. Why was I moved by that movie?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's actually really helpful. I think that we get strength when we go to God, because in a certain sense we're asking God questions, but I feel like we've got God's attention. You know, when I'm asking somebody else a question, my attention is on them. I think sometimes what I've heard from you in the mystery talk is, when we don't know, we go to God and ask questions. And I feel like God really, it's some of the times that God speaks to me the most clearly.
You know what? Yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you what hit me for the first time. When you were saying that, Sam, I just thought the mystery in another person's life is an invitation to intimacy with them. Because, right, we said in the very beginning, you go heart to heart with a person when you ask them questions like this man did with you, or, you know, and that's a very deep level, but all sorts of things. All of a sudden you feel like, I mean, I've had guys say to me, that was the most profound lunch I've ever had with a person ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, no, it wasn't. I just asked you some questions and let you talk. But now I realize, now that you said that, was I actually entered into the mystery of their life by asking them questions, and they felt an intimacy in that. And, of course, I'm not taking away from intimacy with God. I'm just saying, I just think that's universal, maybe.
And it goes right along, you know, as you describe it there, you said you entered into the mystery of their life. It goes right along with what you had said earlier about, with your questions, just follow your curiosity. In other words, become curious about the mystery of their life. You enter into it, and they sense that. We all sense it when somebody's really engaged. You know, you become really curious about their life.
Right.
With them.
Yep. So, Sam, we have had a very fast-moving, powerful 40 minutes, but let me just ask you, as we close this up, and then we'll open the lines, what else, if we were to end the call right now, is there anything that you would say to yourself, oh, I wish I had brought this up, I wish I had mentioned this about questions and the power of questions and how to ask questions?
I'm going to take us down another track, but I would say this. In my, you know, personal pursuit of the idea of questions and asking people stuff, I felt like God moved me once to let him ask questions of me. And I started compiling a list of questions that Jesus asks different people. Hmm. And I've just taken it as, you know, I've taken Bible or prayer time sometime where I'll just take one question. I have a list of, you know, 100, 150 different questions that Jesus asks people. And I found it to be fascinating to let God ask questions of me. I take the question somebody, you know, Jesus asked somebody, and I ask that of myself. And I found some of those to be some of the richest intimacy-building prayer times I've ever had. So I know that was a completely different direction, but...
You know what, though? That's a gem right there. I have never... I mean, I realize sometimes when I'm asking God a question, he'll turn around and ask me a question in return, and I think because of the reason of he wants to help me think. He wants to get to the core of my heart, but I've never thought about asking God, what do you want to ask me? That, you know, what questions do you ask of me or about me? That's a gem. That's gold
right
there.
Something my dad taught me.
What an amazing man your dad was. What an amazing man.
Yeah. My dad's comment was, usually the person who starts the conversation controls the conversation. You know, so if we get together and I say, what about those Detroit Lions? Well, that'll be a short discussion. you know, something else. And so my dad says, in prayer, let God start the conversation. You know, go through Scripture, let him ask you a question. I always thought that was a really good... Let God start the conversation. Anyway.
That is so good. That is so good. Well, okay, this has been rich. We could talk for another 20 minutes, but I think this is a great place to stop and maybe come back to this another time. So,
yeah.
Sam, thank you. Thank you,
Gary.